we on which commandment of the Bible? The sixth commandment. And what the Bible say? Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not kill, right? My New King James translated it, thou shalt not murder. Now, murder is more accurate translation. We see killing happen, but murder is actually take someone's else life and they don't have way to defend. Though thou shalt not murder someone. And so one thing I want to put in from my trip is this. As we drove away from the Dead Sea, that particular day in the morning, we go up the hilltop, I mean the mountaintop of the city called Masada. How many people saw the movie Masada? You see the movie Masada? I went home, I watched the movie right away. The Masada movie, and this is what happened to the city and built by Herod, but he left it, and so the Jews later come into it. But this is a story setting. On the year of 70 AD, the Roman soldier marched into Jerusalem and killed practically every single Jew in that city. While some of them able to escape, the Essen able to escape, they able to take some scroll, which is the Bible with them, the scroll of the Torah with them, and few other people. And the total, the number who escape is 980 people. They run to the Masada, which is pretty much the city, big refuge place that Herod built, and he's not there anymore. And so these people climb up to the tip of the mountain. I would say, what is it, more than 500, 600 feet tall, really high. If I stand up there, I see all those people down there, very small, just like I stand up like a 100-story building. So high and very steep. The only way we can go up is this cable car. And to let you know how high it is. Take you probably half a day of walking. I see some steps, they're walking all over there. It's a long way. But so deep, so steep that hardly anyone can go up there. And so they take a long journey to go up there and they settle there. Well, the Roman soldier find out that's where they escape. But the Roman soldier, they don't want anyone to escape. And so they chasing them. And when they come to the Masada, the mountains, they over that refuge place. They're going to take that over. And you know, Roman soldiers, they take out city very quick, within hours or days. But this time they say, you know, they're going to go out to Masada within 3 days and then kill every single Jew up there. Guess what? They were there for 3 years. They couldn't find way how to get up there. The more when they get up there, guess what? The people throw stone out. You see those big stone? I've been carrying it, like they call it a cannonball or something. They throw down, they shoot arrow down, everything. And so the Roman soldiers really hard to get up there. And so they can live up there with all the food that Herod had been stored there and the water cisterns there. So much water, they can live up there for 10 years without going down. Can you believe it? Where the Roman soldier down there, they have no water. They have to run away 11 miles. You got to get water coming back. And there's 5,000 soldiers down there. They're going to take down Masada. Anyway, 3 years. And they find a way to build a ramp all the way from the ground to up there. And they have to chisel out rock. You know, rock, a lot of rock. And they have to pad it until up make a ramp go up to the gate of Masada. Can you imagine? I say like 100-story high, and they build that. It takes them 3 years. Now, when they build, the people up in the top, they throw rock down so people cannot continue to build. Guess what? They bring slave. And you know what slave is? It's the Israel. And the Israel up there, they cannot kill the forefather or their relative down here. And so they bring all these slaves there, and so they cannot throw the rock down. And so all these 3 years, they're able to build the ramp. At the day come, they have the big car to go up there and pound down the wall and try to kill every single Jews up there. Well, the night before, the Roman soldiers are going to march right into the gate. They decided they'd rather die than be slave to the Roman. And so the leaders get together up in the Masada. They say they want to die. They don't want to be butchered to death. They don't want to be thrown into Colosseum, fight with the lions and bears, all that. They said they're going to die on this mountaintop. And they read this 10th commandment. And the 6th commandment, thou shalt not what? Kill, thou shalt not murder. And so they cannot kill. And so they have a secret pick and lot. 10 people will commit, they will sin by committing the 6th commandment, they kill. So 10 people out of 980 people, they kill. And they are other people that accept suicide, but they cannot kill themselves because they suicide, that means they're killing. So they might break the law. And so 10 people draw a lot and they kill these people. And after that, the 10 people, they kill each other. And so when the morning comes, when the Roman soldier march into the gate, find all the men and women of 980 people commit suicide, except two. There's a mother and a child, boy or girl, that's still alive. I'm telling you, this Bible, they take seriously. They hide the scroll of the Bible. They take the 6th commandment serious. Thou shalt not kill or murder. What does this mean for us today? They live by the word of God. Are we able to live by the word of God at the end time? Of course, we don't agree to murder anyone or ourselves. But are we live to it? A lot of time we think about, well, thou shalt not kill or murder. We rush through the 6th commandment because that's not related to it, because we never kill anyone or ourselves. Why should we read about that Bible text? Why should we study? Do you think that God have forward thou shalt not murder or kill as simple as that? Or there's something deep meaning into that 6th commandment? Let's understand about this. God value every single soul. Every human being live on this planet, God value. That's why God don't want anyone else take someone else's life or even your life. Well, sometimes ago in the year of 1844, some people go to Fiji Island and they record this. Back then, they have so much slave on that island. They treat other human beings like dirt, like animal, like slave. But now as the years go by, you don't find that anymore. How has that happened? Because the missionary come there, share with one of them about the word of God, share with them about the Bible. And many churches in Fiji's island right now is because the Lord has placed in that place, and so they don't treat human like they used to. You understand the value of this? God value every human being. God value every person, and so you and I shouldn't take anyone else's life, including ourselves. So that should probably be easy to us, but Jesus dig deeper in it. Somehow the Israelites don't really understand what God tried to teach. And so Jesus tells a story here, and we find this in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. And Jesus, when he preached, this is Sermon on the Mount, after the Beatitude, he said this, "You have heard that it was said to those of old," that's in the Old Testament, "you shall not murder, and whosoever murders will be in danger of judgment." Okay? Jesus said to the multitude, say, you heard about the 6th commandment, thou shalt not murder. But verse 22, God said this, Jesus said this, but I say to you that whoever is what? Angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. This is the same judgment in verse 21. If you're angry at your brother, you will have same judgment. Now, Jesus talking to the multitude here. If you're angry you just commit murder. Matter of fact, another Bible text. This is a very wonderful definition. Turn with me in the book of 1 John. Put your finger right there, Matthew, but turn with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whoever hate his brother is a what? Murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That means if you're angry at someone, that means you commit a murder. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. The Bible says that angry. If you're angry with someone, you already commit a murder. And every people commit a murder cannot have eternal life. Is that clear? Now, does that mean every one of us commit murder? By definition? If you're angry, probably none of you get angry this morning, right? So if any one of us is angry any time in the past or even now, we commit murder. Why is that? Why God's been so strict? Just one little angry, why are you so strict, God? Now, you got to understand in the story of Cain and Abel. Just a little angry, and this is what happened. Turn with me in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. So Cain is a farmer, and Abel is a shepherd. And so when the time come, they come to the Lord. Okay? And this is what happened. Verse 3, continue. And in the process of time has come to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. That's what he does, right? He have farmers, he have all fruit. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respect who? Abel or Cain? Abel, and accept his offering. But look at verse 5. But he, God, did not respect Cain of his and his offering. And Cain was very what? Angry. And his countenance fell. He started getting angry. Who did Cain get angry? To. Who did he get angry? You think he angry at Abel or at God? He's angry at God. He really upset what God did not accept the offering, but can he do anything with God? So he take out his anger on someone else. You know, today something like that too. When you cannot get angry at someone, you can do it. You're going to take your anger on someone else. And so this is what happened. Verse 6. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That means if you anger in your heart, what you do? You should rule, you should control. Until when? And give this the sunset. That's it. If you have anger today, brother and sister, by the time sunset, that's it. It should be gone. You wake up in the morning, no more anger. Right? That's what the Bible taught us that. And so, yeah, what happened to Cain? But he did not able to rule his anger. He cannot control his anger. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. He probably discussed with Abel, you know what happened? Why didn't God accept my offering? But he get more upset as Abel tried to explain. And it came to pass when they were in the field, away from their parent, that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. What happened to Cain's anger? What a result? What is the result? He commit a murder. Just a little anger. Because God did not answer your prayer. And so you start upset with someone else who God answered prayer. And so you get anger. is boiling up in you day and night and months and years until you commit sin. My friend, that's why God really explained us, do not have anger in your heart. The act of murder is begin with the attitude. What is your attitude? What is your lifestyle? Do we have any anger? Because anger will lead to a point that we will hurt someone. We might not kill, but we will hurt someone. And when you hurt someone, you hurt God. Am I right? If I hurt my brother, I hurt God, because God have died for my brother. And I have no right to hurt someone else. See, God value every single human being. Everyone. Doesn't matter what language group you come from. Doesn't matter what your skin color. Doesn't matter you're poor or rich or educated or not. God loves everyone and God value everyone. And so we have no right to hurt someone, because that is God. God died for that person. And so we cannot hurt them. So why that? Because it's God. He loved everyone. And he loved us too. And he don't want anyone else to hurt us either. Remember back in the book of Matthew chapter 5, say, if you anger to your brother, Jesus can say, if you anger to your enemy. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, you anger to your brother. How can you be angry to your brother? How can you be angry to your sister? How can you say such word to hurt them? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. There's 3 points to this. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus portrayed a very important issue. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Okay? But I say unto you that who is angry with his brother without a cause, okay? But if with a cause anger, you shouldn't keep it too long, shall be in danger of judgment. And who? So first of all, number one is anger. That's being committed a murder. And whoever say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. What does that mean? Raka is an Aramaic word. It does mean you say something that you wish someone die. You wish someone get accident. You hopefully that someone happened to them. That's what I mean. So if you anger, you commit a murder. If you say something that you wish other people get hurt, you already commit a murder. And third point, but whoever say to you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. In other words, if you call people a name, if you say something negative, you call people a name, that's also commit a murder. So 3 point, go home and study these 3 points that Jesus pointed out. And so, and sum up, this means if you anger someone, you say something, you already bring that person down to the ground, if not to death. And Jesus value that soul, and Jesus don't want us do something to other people. Likewise, he don't want God don't want someone else to do to us. So, if we have anger with someone, let's solve it. If we come to church, we still have not been able to reconcile with someone, go out and take care of it and come back. That's what Jesus said. So do by everything is possible to solve it. Now, a thought comes to mind, how do you deal with it? Now, when someone poke on you, you get upset, you start to get angry, you start to get fighting verbally. Now, what did Jesus do? When Pilate asked Jesus, if you are the Son of God, which is Jesus, then please make a miracle. Show me that you prove you are Son of God. What did Jesus do? He didn't do it. He keep quiet. And when he hang on the cross, and the people down there say, if you, the Son of God, you can save someone else, why can't you save yourself? Then you're not a Son of God if you don't come down from the cross. What did Jesus do? He keep quiet. If you read the book of Isaiah 53, he go into the slaughterhouse and he keep his mouth quiet. He know he is right, but he keep it quiet. And only thing he can do is raise his head up into heaven and pray to God. And after that, he say this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. I learned from that story that if anything happened, if someone take anger on you, the best thing you could do is be quiet and pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them that God forgive their sin. And if I'm angry at you, please pray for me that God forgive my sin. And that's how we deal with it, because let not any one of us have anger in our heart that we might commit murder. Now, that's one point about anger. Now, I want to bring another issue up. Is when we're talking about thou shalt not commit, shall commit murder or kill, with my trip, I thought about the German killed 6 million Jews. And that idea been repeated over and over. I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. I went to the Holocaust Museum in Israel. I see the same thing. But this teaches a story here. We are so upset with someone takes someone else's life. But we do not, or many of us, do not think about other people take an innocent baby abortion. Since the 80s until now, more than 30 million, more than 30 million babies still in the womb that have people killed. Why? And here we're talking about, 6 million Jews is killed, or many other people killed in the war, and things like that. But how many people have been abortion in this country? That's just a thought that we should ponder upon. And this is where the Bible is coming in, that we don't see that the devil insert all these things in, like I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, the great controversy in the end time, that all these things happening, that take us, our eyes away. Oh, that's how we committed murder. That's mean killing someone. But we have killed so many people. Or we allow other people to kill so many people. You know, the Jews, when we go visit them in Israel, they not only upset with the German who killed 6 million Jews, they upset with the Christian who did not stand up to fight for them. Do you hear about? You hear about? That's what they said. Where were you? Where we in need? I just keep silent. I say, you're right. Do we stand up today to protect other people, other souls? Where the whole world go against it? Where the devil inject the idea of you can hate someone and you can kill someone and you can get away with it? That's where you get. You kill the infant and you can get away from it. That's what happened. We live in the time of the great controversy. The devil will break down every single commandment, including the sixth commandment. And we need to stand up and share. We should be a group of people who need to stand up to uplift the word of God, especially the Ten Commandments, more than any other group. Now, another Bible text I want to share with you. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the... Anyone have it? I'll let you find it. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, why in the world that that book of Proverbs say that? In our tongue, what we say can bring life, and what we say can bring death. You follow me? This is what the Bible said. Now, the time we live right now, you probably don't believe that, but back a few hundred years ago, where there's kings and queens, and if a king says something, you better listen. If you're not, what he's saying will bring life and death to a person. Am I right? It's so serious. But today, maybe different story, but what we say with our tongue also brings life and death. What we say may be encourage other people, uplift other people, or what we say will bring them down to the ground. What people say will hurt other people. For example, fortune teller. What they say may be cause destiny of someone else. They might commit adultery. They commit a murder. They might leave the home. You see, what people say is so important. If you're angry, you cannot keep to yourself, suddenly will come out of your mouth. If not, come out with an action. You see, so tongue is very important. Related to the sixth commandment, what we say might hurt other people. What we might say, we might cause a murder. Now, that's where hurting other people. What about hurting yourself? Let's say suicide. Is suicide committing murder? Yes. And so Christians shouldn't commit a murder. Anyway, no one in this world should commit suicide, because you shouldn't kill yourself. That's where the Jews up in the Masada, they say they cannot commit suicide. They want other people kill them instead of they kill themselves. And so suicide should not be in place here. So many people today, they lose hope in the future. They commit a murder. They kill themselves. They take their own life. And they think if they take their own life, things will be well. Things will be fine. Run away from credit card bill. No. You leave behind a lot of headache. You live a selfish life when you commit suicide. You let everyone else behind crying for you and pray for you and deal with the problem. Now, commit suicide is a quick way to end your life. And that's against the law. There's another suicide, and you probably know what I'm talking about. It's a longer, very slow process. Now, if someone commit a sin a long time ago, they sentenced to death. Either sentenced to death by killing them right away, that's a very peaceful death, or nailed to the cross, which is agony for days and days. And that's a long process. Now, I'm talking back about suicide. Suicide, you heard about, is a very short process, very quick, and it's over. But there's a slow process. Is this. Is what you put in your body can kill you. Right? You can drink a lot of sleeping pill. Within hours, you'll be dying. But you might eat something will take you years to die. For example, and I'm not talking about health topic now here. You might eat something that God forbidden. Shrimp, lobster, catfish, all that. And you know all that come to your body and will killing you in the long run. And that also consider, quote unquote, suicide. It's a long suicide and agony. All these sickness, heart disease, stroke, cancer. Everything is from your mouth. Instead of throw food out by saying something to hurt someone, Now you swallow, you're hurting yourself by food that you intake. You understand? I see so many people, they don't care about life. They say, so what? My life is short. I'm going to eat whatever I want to. Who knows? I might die tomorrow, but enjoy my life today. My friend, God do not want to do that. He already saved you. He already protected you. He already died for you. He already purchased you back with his own blood. Why would you take your life away? Now, this one hit home. We might not commit a murder, kill someone, but we might kill ourselves. What we eat. You know, a lot of people are sick and say, why, God, why you let this happen to me? Why do you let me die quicker? When I visit someone in the hospital some years ago and he had a stroke, he lay in the hospital for 2 years. Every single day he looked at God, he upset with God. Why you let me? Why do you let me have a heart attack or stroke so hard that I can die perfectly, peacefully? Why you let me live? But the consequence is on us. The stroke is not caused by God, it's caused by us. We eat too much cholesterol. We eat too salty food. And we're hurting ourselves. And why we lie in the hospital bed like that man crying out to God, God also crying out because what you did, what your sin is hurting you. God bought you with his blood. And we should not take our own life. So what we learn from this, God said, do not commit murder. Let not take someone else's life by violence. I'm sure today many, not too many people doing that. But think deeper what Jesus said. Do not say word that hurt people. Do not do anything to hurt other people. Because God love that person, have pushed that person back, do not. And number three, do not hurt yourself. It's a sin to hurt yourself, you know? It's a sin. It's not you. What you live right now, you sit here right now, you don't own this. This is a temple of God. My soul belongs to God, not to myself. I cannot take my life and give my life. Only God can. So, think of those 3 points when you read the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit murder. Can we do this? Can those 3 points, can we exercise? Can we uplift this commandment? Can we live day in and day out to help ourselves to keep the sixth commandment and help others to abide into the word of God? Can we do this? Can we do this? Praise God. I know God will bless you. God says that I can do all things. I can do all things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, this morning we visit the sixth commandment. We could brush through this very quickly, and we miss all the meaning. We might say to ourselves, we never commit a murder, kill someone, or take someone out alive. But Lord, as we see the lesson of Jesus taught us, what we done, what would you do, our anger, without control, we hurt someone. And that commit a murder. Help us. The word we say, the thought going through our mind every day, that we should do everything to uplift other people because that's your son and your daughter. That's a precious show that you purchased. And so, Lord, another point, help us to think about our own life. Sometimes we not treat our body correctly. We don't live a lifestyle that you have taught us. We're hurting our life. Do so many disease and sickness from the food and the lifestyle that we live. Help us, Lord, because this is the body you have purchased as well. Help us to live according to your word. Last but not least, help each one of us to uplift the sixth commandment Because we live in the end time where the great controversies going on, including this commandment that the devil will take this down. Help us to uplift. Help us to stand up and fight for other people. Stand up to show that this commandment still abides to every single humankind. That no one else can take someone else's life, including an infant. Lord, I pray that you abide to us and write your sixth commandment in our heart, that every day we live to uplift you. May we continue uplift you and shine this tenth commandment into every person that we come in contact with. Be with our church, with the rest of the Sabbath, and many days to come. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.